Begin the current daf and start this getting daf ayin ches. We begin on the third line down for the top of the amud. But the Gemara continues explaining from the Mishnah that opened up this parak of Parak HaZerik, where we spoke about that if a man throws a get to his wife in her domain, even though it's not her literal hand, still she's going to be mugureshes, as we learned out that chatzim shum yad israboy. It doesn't have to mean literally her hand. It can mean anything that's mishtameris ladaita, that's safeguarded based on her intelligence and her command. Whereas if he throws it to her in his house, in his courtyard, even as the Mishnah says, which our Gemara quotes, afilahu ima b'mita v'chulu, even if he's with her in the same bed, but it's in his house, then the halacha is going to be she's not megureshet, she's not divorced, because it has to leave from his domain and go into her domain. Now that Amar Rava, he qualifies, he says, lo yishanu ele b'mita shaloi. This halacha that she's not going to be divorced was only talking about if it's his bed. But if it's her bed, even though it's in his house, migareshes, then she's going to be divorced. Now, originally the Gemara assumes that the reason for this halacha is because kelyo sheloikeach, the purchaser, we're going to call the woman the purchaser for this purposes of illustrating, and the husband as the meicher, because it's the transition, the transfer of the get is going from him to her, like a sale, so that the receptacles of the purchaser can acquire, even in the rishus of the meicher, even in the domain of the seller, the object that's placed into that loikeach's kelim, which is actually machlekes and baba basra pehema beis. So the Gemara says tana mahachi, similar in the brayso like Rava said, this halacha of our Mishnah was only talking about even if they're in the same bed, if he gives her the get and it goes on the bed, she's not divorced, is because it's his bed in his house. But if it's her bed, even though it's in his house, then it's going from his domain to her domain, because it's going on her bed, and therefore she's going to be divorced, just like it's her chatzar, and therefore, like her bias. Now that the Gemara asks, Ubimita shalom ugureshes, are you telling me about if it goes on her bed that she's divorced? But kel yoshele kiach b'shus meicherhu, this is the corollary of the purchaser's utensils in the domain of the seller. Now, shamet, because it's her bed in his domain, and we're saying that it's leaving from him and going to her. Shamit no, so we can infer from this halacha, kel yushalei kiach, b'shus meicher kan lekiach, that the purchaser could acquire from the seller objects that are being placed into his utensils, even though it's still in the domain of the seller, because it's in his house, but it's my utensils. So similarly, you say the same thing over here, where it's her bed, but it's her bed's in his house. Still, you say that's leaving from him to her. So similarly, that's a proof for that man, the Amr, which the machlekes and baba basra that holds that kel yushalei kiach could be kind even b'shus meicher. So I think Gemara says, lo yitzricha. No, the case that we're discussing over here, which will not prove for either man da'amar, the gevaya asara, the bed is 10 tefachim high. So that creates its own domain for itself. In other words, that's not considered the ear space of the rishus of the meicher to say that, oh, then you're right. According to that man da'amar, then we say that the kelev shalekeach is bottled to the rishus of meicher and it would not be valid. Here it's not considered rishus meicher because it's above 10 tefachim from the floor, which is the domain of the airspace of the meicher, at least in regards to kinyanim. Now the Gemara asks, okay, fine. So you took care of that element. It's not on the floor, right? If it's on the floor, then it would be kel yishalekech b'shus meicher, and maybe you're right, it wouldn't be valid. Here, the bed, which is her bed, is higher than 10 tefachim, so it's a higher area, which we say that for acquisition purposes, it's not considered b'shus meicher. But vo'ikim mokim kari. But the Gemara asks, but there's the space of the legs of the bed, which are on the bed, on the floor, and therefore the bed, yes, the top of the bed is higher than 10 tefachim, but the bed is an extension of the legs, which are on the floor, and therefore it is the utensils of the lekech b'shus meicher, and even on the bottom, lower than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara said, no, a mokim kari lekapti inchi. Regarding the space of the legs, people are not particular, because it's just the legs itself. And the bed itself is higher than 10 tefachim, and therefore it's very easy to utilize the area underneath the bed itself. And therefore, people are not particular that there are the legs over here, it's just a utensil which gets in the way, but it's higher than 10 tefachim, so you can use the area underneath, and therefore the legs are not bothering him, so that's okay. And regarding the bed itself, which is a large thing, that's above 10 tefachim, and therefore that's not considered b'shus meicher to be problematic, even if you hold kel yishalekech, is not koina b'shus meicher. Still, they would hold and agree to this interpretation of this brisa that is going to work, and the woman's going to be divorced in her own bed because it's higher than 10 tefachim. Now, the Mishnah said, however, even though he said that if it's in his house, it doesn't work, but l'teicheko or l'teichkalsim, he said if he puts it into her lap, or he throws it into her basket, then she's going to be divorced, even though it's in his house. So the Gemara says, am I? The same question, why? Kel yishalei keach b'shus meichu, it's the utensils of a purchaser, meaning the woman is the one who is receiving this object from the seller, from the husband, in his domain. So according to that mandama, how does it work? So Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuli says, k'gein shehoisa kalsa teluya, but we're talking about where, yes, the basket was on the floor, it wouldn't work, because it's kel yishalei keach b'shus meichu. It's talking about how her basket is hanging from her. And obviously a person's own body is their own domain. So too, this is an extension of it, it's hanging from her. Her basket is hanging from her. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, he says even more, he says, even kshura afa b'shein tluya. He says, if it's tied to her, even if it's not hanging from her, meaning even if it's being dragged on the floor, but as long as it's tied to her, it's still considered an extension of her, and therefore it is going to be considered in her domain, not in b'shus meicha, and that's why she'll be divorced. Another interpretation of Adbar Avama, he says, we're talking about where she's sitting on the floor, but her basket is between her thighs. So although it's on the floor, but as Rashi explains, the person is not particular about the space of where a person, for example his wife, is sitting. And therefore, even before this, the area between her lap was her area, although it's in his house, it's not considered Birshus Meicher, and that's why putting in the basket between her legs is going to be considered her area and therefore divorcing her. Another interpretation of Mershashib or Abdimiyama, he says, we're talking about a specific type of a case where her husband was a basket seller. And that's why he's not particular about the place of her basket taking up space. You're right, usually could be problematic. But here, his whole house is meant for this. It's full of baskets, and therefore he doesn't care about her basket, and that's why, since he's not makbid, it is considered her own domain, and that's why that would be considered a divorce. Rabbi Yechonamer, he says, Mokim cheko konula. He says, no, more general interpretation. He says, no, the space of her lap is acquired to her. Mokim kalsa konula, the place where she puts her basket, is acquired to her. You're right. This house is my house, the husband says. But wherever your basket is, wherever your lap is, that's considered your domain. Now, Amar Rabba, Rabba asked, my time, Rabbi Yechon, what's the reason of Rabbi Yechon? Why? Why do we say that her basket is considered her area? What do you mean? It's in his house. So the Gemara answers, Lefisha eino de makbid. Because a person not particular, loya makim cheker, it's his wife. Although he owns the area, but he's not particular about her lap. And loya makim kalsa, he's not particular about her basket. Meaning, he understands a woman comes, she has her stuff, just like he allows her to come, he allows her that this is her space. As the Gemara says, Tanya Mahach is similar in the Braisa, that it's the reason for this halacha is because he's not particular about this. But in fact, we learn in the Braisa that says, Zorku lo l'techeka. If he throws it into the space of her lap, oy l'tech kalsa, or into her basket, oy l'tech kol dover shuhuku kalsa, or into anything that is like her basket, meaning that that's her pocketbook, things that she uses that's designated for her, says the Braisa, Rizu Mugureshes. So then she'll be divorced because a person understands that a wife that comes into his house, with the understanding that she's going to bring in all her small little baskets and stuff, which she always brings in, and there he designates that those areas are for her. Now the Gemara is called Dabe Shuka Kalsa Lasuyim. What's this coming to include? Besides the basket, besides her lap, anything that's like the basket has the same aloha, what's that coming to include? So the Gemara says, Lasuya Taske, it comes to include this like sackcloth, the Achli Batame, that she eats dates, she has this little satchel that she brings that has dates in it, that's also considered something, wherever she puts it down, is considered her domain. And if you throw the get in there, will be considered a valid gerushin, because that will be the same halacha of chatera and besa that's israbuy mishim yada, even though it's in his house. Now the Gemara continues with the next mishnah, again continuing the theme of these mishnayis regarding the halacha component of benasim b'yada, that he has to put it in her hand. So the previous mishnah we discussed doesn't mean literally her hand, it means even her chatzer or bayis, or as we saw over here, even her baskets and things like that. Now the Mishnah moves on to related idea of this halacha. Amalaf, he tells her, Kinsi shtar chayv zeh. Here, take this debt of this, the document of debt, meaning some type of a monetary document. Or she finds this document behind him. And Kaira v'arehi v'gita, so she's reading it, she thinks it's just one of the regular deeds that he has, and she finds out this is her divorce document. Says the Mishnah, in a get, it's not a get, until he tells her that this is your get. And as Rashi points out, even if she already had it, and only later does he tell her that it's her get, it's enough. As long as some point, once she has it, or even when he's giving it, as long as he tells her that this is your get, that's going to be okay. Because now she has it, and she knows that it's her get because as it's brought from the Rishayim, from the Sifri, where it says, V'nasin b'yada b'shilcha. I mean, basically, he has to be sending her away by telling her that this is some monetary document. She doesn't, you're not really sending her away. You can use a ruse for her to get it, but you have to tell her at least later that this is your get. So then you're fulfilling v'nasin b'yada and b'shilcha. Now the Mishnah says, Nasin b'yada b'hi yashena. Let's say he puts it in her hand, but she's sleeping at that moment. Niyara kairav, she wakes up and she reads. In other words, when she wakes up, she reads it and she sees Vaharihu Gita. She wakes up, she sees in her hand her divorce document. Says the Mishnah, similarly, Eino get acha yoimala ha gita. So it's not going to be a valid get until he tells her, this is your get. Obviously, she sees it herself, but he has to tell her. That's the halacha that Rishonim learned now from Bishilcha, that he has to verbalize this, that he's giving her a get. Now, the Gemara asks, however, regarding one of the cases that we said, Mutsa'asa ma'achayiv, that if she finds it behind him, and she reads it, she finds it that it's her get, so he says it's not a get until he tells her that it's a get. But the Gemara asks a more fundamental question. Ki amala ha-gitach mayhava, what does it help even when he tells her that this is your get? But ha-vala tli gitach me'al gabe karka. But this is similar to like when he tells her, here, take your get from the floor, because as we'll see, he's not giving it to her. That's why this is a continuation of the halachas of a nasa miyada. He has to put it in her hand. Previously, we were discussing that's not just biyada, it's imechatzera. Here we're discussing the nasin part. He has to give it. But this halacha, when she takes it from behind him, is similar to when he tells her, take it from the ground. And Rabbi says, if he tells her, take your get from the floor, he hasn't said anything. Because as we said, you need to have vinasin. He has to give it. He or she's taking it. So the Gemara says, ima sheshlo fasu me'acharev. It's not just that she found it behind him. It was actually stuck between his belt and his body, where she schlepped it out, she dragged it out from there, so it's not from the ground. So therefore, that's the case that we're talking about. Even if she drags it out, what does that help? He has to give it, so it's not on the ground, so it's on him. How does that help? But we have to have that he puts it in her hand, and that's not happening here, because here she's taking from him. So the Gemara says, no, the case that we're discussing is the Arak L'Chartze. So it's stuck between his belt and his body, but then he moves his hips to bring the get closer to her from by his hips, vishlafase, and then she pulls it. So that's considered like he's giving it to her. He doesn't have to give it to her with her hands. Obviously, when he gives it to her, she takes it. So here also he's doing it with his hips. He's moving his hips towards her, and then she takes it from him. That qualifies for v'nasa b'yada. Taninamehachi, similar in the Braisa, that it's told ma'omala kinti shtar chayv zeh. Let's say he tells her, here, take this shtar chayv. Oi, sheshlafasu ma'acharev. So again, we see like the way we qualified, or that she pulls it from behind him, not just finding it, because finding it wouldn't be considered v'nasa b'yada. Rather, it's like we said that he moves his hips towards her, and therefore that qualifies for v'nasa b'yada. Then, karasu b'harehu gita, but then she reads it and she realizes, hey, what is this? This is my get. So that's what the Mishnah was coming to say. Ain't a get. It's not going to be a get. Until he tells her, this is your get. That's the opinion of Rabbi, which was the same opinion as the Tanna of our Mishnah. But Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he disagrees. He says, La'olam ain't a get. It's not going to be a get, because since when she got it, she didn't get it with it's in a valid state, because he never told her that he's giving her a get. And that's integral for the validity of the get. So he says it's not going to be valid yet, even if he later tells her that it's a get. Achi yitlenu him, and until he first takes it back from her, the yarzav yitnenla, then he has to go ahead and give her back to her, and v'yemel ha'gitach, and then tell her that he's giving it to her to be a get, because that's an integral component of the halacha, and therefore that, according to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, will even disqualify the benasin. The benasin has to be under the pretext of v'shilcha, you can't first give it under a ruse, and then later say, if you do, you got to take it back and give it over again. Now, the next case of our Mishnah, which is disputed here again in this Braisa too, Nasana biyada bihi shena. Let's say he gives it to her hand and she's sleeping. Niyara v'kayra v'arigita. She wakes up, she reads it, she realizes what's in her hand. It's not the morning paper, it's her get. Ain't a get. It's not a get. Achayim l'hagitech. Divir Rabbi, as we said in the Mishnah, until he tells her, she could keep it. And it's going to work, but he has to tell her that it's a get. He says, no, until first he has to take it back, then he has to go ahead and give it back to her, and then he tells her, this is your get. The Gemara says, and we needed them to dispute it on both these cases, which similarly the same idea. It was given without the person's awareness of that it's a get. Then they're holding it, even though there was a nesina, and they find that it's a get. But Rabbi holds that's going to be valid if you just notify. Rabbi Shimon says, you got to do it over again. Why do we need to say both? So the Gemara says, "Di'itma b'hach kamayis." Had we only said it regarding the first case, but he come a Rebbe, would have thought only in that case does Rebbe say that it's kosher mishum debasi gushahi, because that woman, since she's awake, she's a woman that's able to be divorced at this moment. The only thing that you're missing is that he didn't say hegitich. He said, "Oh, it's a shtar chayiv." He didn't tell her what it is that he's giving her. So therefore, when he later tells her, so it's valid because the nesina was valid. She was awake. She was regular. She didn't know what it was. Fine. But then he later notified her. Avol nasim b'yada b'yishena. But I would have thought that in the second case of when he gives it to her and she's sleeping, the lav basi grushahi, where she's not a woman that could be divorced, she doesn't have this awareness yet to be able to even fulfill the halacha v'shelcha, because he can't even notify her yet because she's sleeping. Maybe there we would have said that Rebbe agrees to Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar that you would have to do it over. That's why we needed the second case too. Now, had we only said the second case of sleeping, maybe Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, maybe only over there does Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar say that it's not a get, because she's not even able to have the notification. But regarding the first case of when he says it's shtar chayiv, or when she pulls it from between his belt, maybe they would say that he agrees to Rebbe because she's awake, she's able, she's a basa grushe, so although he didn't tell her, but he could tell her afterwards. Tzricha, that's why it was necessary to say both, to say that both of them hold their positions in either one of the cases, whether it's shash lafasai, or that he told her shtar chayiv, or if it's the case of when when she's sleeping, either one will hold their opinions. Now, related discussion, actually, it also reflects regarding halacha that we mentioned on the previous daf. Amar Rava, Rava says, Kos of lo get, let's say he writes her a get, v'nos nubiyad avda, and he puts it in the hand of her slave, yashan umisham rasin, the slave is sleeping, and she's watching, she's safeguarding the slave. So says Rava, I raise a get, that's a valid get, because this is what qualifies, as we mentioned in the previous daf, what's called a chatz ha-mishtemeres l'daita, that it's her courtyard, meaning it's something that she owns, it's her domain, a slave is owned by the master, which is safeguarded with her intelligence, because since the slave is sleeping, the only one who's watching him is not himself. He's asleep, is his mistress, is the woman. Now, but Neir, if he's awake, ain't a get. Says Rava, it's not going to be a valid get. And the reason being, and we alluded to this in the previous daf, is because the slave is watching himself, and then he's watching what's in his hand. That's a courtyard that she owns, but it's not being safeguarded by herself. Rather, the slave is safeguarding himself. So the get that he gets is not considered chatzim mishum yad yisra, but he has to be like yad, which is that she safeguards her hands. But here, he's safeguarding his own body. Now, the Gemara asks, yashin misham rase harei ze get. So you said that if he's sleeping and you're safeguarding, it's a get. Why? Because it's a chatzir, and it's a chatzim mishum yad yisra daita. Now, the Gemara asks, amai, but still, there's a different problem for that halacha. Because chatzim mahalechasi, even if he's a courtyard that's being safeguarded by his mistress, but he's a movable courtyard. He's mobile. He's a person. V'chatzim mahalechas leikana, and a movable courtyard does not acquire for the master, and actually it's Rav himself that says it's in Perek Shnayim Achsin, Betalis, and so how could Rav himself say over here that the slave that's sleeping and the woman's watching it will be a valid get? So the Gemara says, and then v'chitim yashan shani, if you're going to say that when he's sleeping it's different, because, yeah, when he's awake, then he's a chatzah malachas. But when he's sleeping, obviously no one's moving when they're sleeping, and then it's going to be a valid chatzah. But v'amar Rava, but Rava himself says over there that if, let's say, someone was going on a ship and fish jumped into the fish, he says, kol she'ilu mahalach leikana, if it would be moving, the person would not acquire. Oymid v'yoshev leikana, so even if it's staying in one place, still, the person's not going to be able to acquire it because intrinsically it is a chatzim alechas. So even though it's not moving in a second, it could move. So therefore here where he's sleeping, fine, he's not moving now, but it could move, and therefore it's not a valid chatzah. So even if it's that he's sleeping and the woman's watching him, it should still not work. So the Gemara answers, v'hilchasa b'kafir. So halacha that Rabbi was talking about was when it's not just that he's sleeping, it's that he's actually tied up, where he can't move. It's regarding there where Rabbi says that's going to be a get, because here he's sleeping and he's tied up, so he can't move, and he's a chatzah mishtemeres l'daita of the woman, because he's sleeping, he's not watching himself. That's where, if you put in the yacht in the slave's hand, that the woman's going to be divorced. Now, continuing on the theme of the first Mishnah of our Mishnah, talking about where he's zarek lo get, that it doesn't have to be literally in her hand, so the Mishnah expands this halacha even more. Let's say she was standing in the public domain, and he threw it to her. So again, not like in the first Mishnah, we spoke about that it's in her courtyard or in her house, or as we said that even more, it's in her bed, like in the previous Mishnah, and it's in his house that it's going to be divorced. Here they're in the public domain, and he throws it to her. So says the Mishnah, if it's karev law, if when he throws it to her, it's closer to her, which the Gemara is going to explain, what does that mean? Migureshes, then she's divorced. But karev law, he ain't the migureshes, but when he threw it to her, it ended up being closer to him than to her, then she's not divorced. Now, if it's mechza, mechza, if it's actually somewhere in the middle, then migureshes, v'in migureshes, then she's divorced and not divorced, meaning we're not, it's a suffix migureshes, and therefore she has the stringencies of a divorced woman, but not the leniencies. Now, says the Mishnah v'chein in Kedushin, the same halacha would apply regarding Kedushin when he's trying to get engaged to a woman and he throws her, let's say, the ring. It's closer to her, she's engaged. Closer to him, she's not. Some in the middle, it's a suffix Kedushin. And v'chein in Hachayiv, says the Mishnah, the same thing applies to a debt that a borrower owes to a lender. For example, Amalei Bal Chayivai. If let's say his creditor, the lender says to the borrower, tells him, Zrek li Chayivai, throw me the money that you owe me. Now, and they're in the public domain. Now the borrower throws to him what he owes him, and after it falls on the floor, it actually gets lost. So says the Mishnah, Karv la Malviv, when he threw it to him, it was closer to the lender. So Zacha Malviv, the lender has already acquired it because it was closer to him, and hence, the Leiv is going to be exempt, because although it got lost, it was already yours. Karv la Leiv, when he threw it to him, it ended up being closer to the borrower, he didn't get it so far. Then, Ha Leiv Chayiv, then the borrower is still liable, because it never left closer to him. Somewhere in the middle, and then they got lost, then they both share that loss, again, because it's a suffix, it's somewhere in the middle. Now the Gemara asks, Heichadame Karav La, Veheichadame Karav La. What is this case conceptualization of that we're saying, if it depends if it's closer to her or closer to him, what does that mean? So Amarav, he explains, Abba Amashallah, if it falls into the area that's her area of four Amas, Zeh Karav La, that's closer to her. That's always what Zalach is, a person's Zalat Amis, even if Shusharam acquires for him. So therefore, she's going to be divorced then. Abba Amis Shalai, but if it fell into his Zalat Amis, Zeh Karav La, that's closer to him. In other words, if you don't have from the husband to where he threw the get, an area of four Amis, so then the, as the Gemara tells us in Shneim Eichs and Bam Metzidaf Yudim and Aleph, that a person's Zalat Amis acquires for him, hence it never really left his own Zalat Amis. So he has never yet given it to her. So then she's not going to be divorced. Now, but the Gemara asks, if so, Heichadami Mechsa Mechsa, what's the case talking about somewhere in the middle? What does it mean, middle? It's either in her Dalai Lamas or his Dalai Lamas. What would be the relevance of somewhere in the middle where you say that then she's Mugureshes v'ein Mugureshes? So Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak explains, Kagoyin Shahoyu Shneim Imdi Ba'arba Amas. We're talking about that both of them were in Dalai Lamas of the get. Her on one side, there was Dalai Lamas from the get to her, and him on the other side was within Dalai Lamas, where the get was in both of their Dalai Lamases. And because of that, so it's in her Dalai Lamas, but it's also in his Dalai Lamas. So is it in hers, and therefore she's divorced? Or is it really his, so she's not divorced? So that's some in the middle, and therefore she's Mugureshes in Mugureshes, a doubtful Gerishin. Now the Gemara asks, how do you understand this? V'lechzi haimin ayin kodim. Let's see, who got there? Who got to their space there in the Rosh Hashanah first? In other words, if he got there first, and he was waiting for her to come, and then he threw it, now they're both in Dalai Lamas, so his Dalai Lamas first demarcated his area first. It's his Dalai Lamas. So, of course, she's not Mugureshes. She's not even Misafik. If she got there first, so her Dalai Lamas was marked off first. And even if he ends up coming into that same area and it's part of his Dalai Lamas, does it make a difference? She already entered this area of Shusram first. It's her Dalai Lamas. And therefore, she would definitely be Mugureshes. So, what's this case that you're describing that it's in both the Dalai Lamas, so it's Mugureshes and Mugureshes? What do you mean? Who got there first? Then you'll know whose Dalai Lamas it's considered. Now, so the Gemara says, V'chitem, and if you're going to say, Da'asa Tavai Bahadi Adodi, that both came the same second, says the Gemara, no. You can't be so precise to say that no one came before the other. Even if they came basically around the same time, someone had to be there first. So who got there first? Whoever got there first will be considered their Dalai Lamas. So why are you saying it's a suffix? It's either definitely Mugureshes or definitely not Mugureshes. So Elam Rav Kahana, rather, the way Rav Kahana qualifies this halacha, according to the line of the reasoning of Rav, who said it depends whose Dalai Lamas it's in, he says, Hacha b'ches amis mitzumtzum esaskin. What we're discussing over here is that there's exactly eight amis that's between the two of them. Not more and not less. As the Gemara continues, Amid Beis, and that is, v'get yitzim arba amis shaloi l'dalat amis shaloi. What the process over here is, it was going out from his Dalai Lamas to her Dalai Lamas. Now, the thing is that now part of it is in his Dalai Lamas, and part of it finally made it into her Dalai Lamas. So it's actually somewhere in the middle. It's neither of their Dalai Lamas are, they each have their own Dalai Lamas. Yeah, obviously one of them came before the other. So she has her own Dalai Lamas, and he has his own Dalai Lamas. But those lines of their Dalai Lamas touch each other. So when the get is, when he threw it, it ended up actually right in the middle. So half is in his dalamas, half is in her dalamas. So whose is it? Somewhere in the middle. So therefore, megureshes and megureshes. And that the Gemara asked him that too. But va'ogid gabei, he's still holding on to the get. In other words, the get is still partly in his rishus. It didn't totally leave. Now, the halacha is, b'nasim b'yada, that he puts it into her hands, it has to be totally in her domain, out of his domain. So even if it's partly in hers, it doesn't help because it's still partly in his. So what's the suffix? It's for sure not megureshes because it never totally left from his domain. So why is that a case of suffix gerushin? So Ella, Rabba of Rabbi Yosef, the Amitavayu, they both explain what is the case that would be considered a suffix according to this interpretation of Rav. Hacha b'shtei kite edim askinim, we're talking about that there's two different sets of witnesses. Four people, two and two. Achas oimeres karev loy. One of them says, I'm telling you, we were both at this angle, we saw was closer to him. V'achas oimeres karev loy. And a different set of witnesses say, no, I'm telling you, we saw was closer to her. That's where it's in the middle, meaning we don't know. You're right, it wasn't half and half, because then it would for sure not be megureshes. But two witnesses say that it did go into her dalaramas, that she's megureshes. Two witnesses say it didn't, it was closer to him, and therefore she's not megureshes. So because of that doubt of the two witnesses, the two sets of witnesses, that's why we say megureshes and megureshes is actually a suffix. It's somewhere in the middle, we don't know. That's why she has the stringencies of both a married woman and a divorced woman. That's one interpretation of what does it mean, karev loy, karev lo, and somewhere in the middle. Rabbi Yechonah Omer, he gives a different interpretation, more liberal. Says karev lashanin. We learned closer to her. What that means is not like Rav is trying to say that in her dalet amas, as long as it's closer to her. Meaning afila me'ama, even if it's a area of 100 amma, as long as it's closer to her. Meaning if he threw something and it went, who knows how many amas? If it's closer to her, it's hers. The karev lashanin. We learned closer to him. Afila me'ama, even if it's 100 amma, as long as it's closer to him. Now, but then the question becomes, then you really, it's a struggle. What does it mean, half and half? You can't really have half and half. It's either or, because it's not Dalet Amos and his Dalet Amos, and you can have an Iri in between. Wherever that line is, that is closer to her, it's hers. And closer to me, closer to the husband, is him. So Amar Rav Shem Bar Abba, he explains, L'didi mefarsh le'mnei Rabbi Yechonon. I heard interpreted in the name of from Rabbi Yechonon, Hu yochel l'shamer, it's like this. It means to say, if he could safeguard it, V'hi ein yichay l'shamer, and she can't, zehu karev lo, that's what it means closer to him. Doesn't literally mean to say, geographically speaking, that who's it closer to. It means to say, who's able to watch it in that state. If he is, then that, and she can't, that's karev lo. Hi yichay l'shamer, v'hu ein yichay l'shamer, let's say she could watch it, but he can't, for whatever reason, there's something in the way, then zehu karev lo, that's considered closer to her, and then she'll be divorced. Now, but shneim echayim l'sham right shneim einyachayim. Let's say they both could safeguard it. They're both within the reach that they could watch it, or both cannot. Zel mechsa mechsa. That's somewhere in the middle, and that's megureshes for ein megureshes. That's the area of where it's not clear because neither one of them has a domain over it, or they both do, and therefore then is where we'd say megureshes and megureshes. Now, amru rabban the kamed Rabbi Yechonon. They said this interpretation that Rabbi Yechonon himself, as we just quoted in our Mishnah, said, so they said in front of him, Mishmei Rabbi Yonasan Hachi. They said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, like Rabbi Yechonon had said, that he said the same interpretation, that what does it mean, Karev Loi or Karev Loi? It means to say who can watch it, who can safeguard it. And then they said that he said the same thing. Now, Rabbi Yonasan was from Bavel, and he made Aliyah, he went up to live in Eretz Yisrael. So, Amas, Rabbi Yechonon said, Yadin Chavrin Bavloi Lefrushe Ki Haitama, do our Babylonian counterparts, our colleagues in Babel, know how to interpret it so well like I did? Meaning, in Eretz Yisrael is one thing, but in Babel they also know how to give such interpretations? Wow, because Rabbi Yechonon was really originally from Babel, and it's amazing that he also had the same interpretation in our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara says, Tani Nam Hachi, similar in the Brice like this, that when the Mishnah says about who's it closer to, it means to say who can shimer it, who can safeguard it. Because the Brisa says, Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Kol shu karev la miloy. Whenever it's closer to her than to him, which originally the Gemara assumes that what it means, sounds like it's saying that even though it's closer to her than to him, but uba kelev not loy, then the dog comes and takes it, in the megureshes, then she's not divorced. Now, the difficulty we had with this Brisa was that why is it in the megureshes? Why is she not divorced? But from the moment that it came closer to her, we said the halacha in the Mishnah is that she's divorced. So why does it bother us if at a later point in time a dog came and took it? What do you mean? Kal hecha tinatri b'tezel? She has to watch and safeguard it for the rest of her life? Who cares that a dog took it? The moment it comes into the karev lo, she's divorced. So why if a dog took it, did you say that she's not divorced? So says the Gemara, El Lav Hachakama, rather it's obvious that what Rabbi Eliezer was saying was like Rabbi Yechon had said, that even though Kol Shakarav La Miloi, that even though the get ended up falling closer to her than to him, but if let's say there's a river in between, or there's a huge mound, a huge pile that's between her and the get, that what that means to say is that the ilubah kelev and not lie. So it's not that this is what happened. It means to say, but that if a dog would come and take it, then v'hu yachal l'shamin, that only he would be able to safeguard it. V'hi einu chay l'shamin, that she wouldn't be able to safeguard it. So though it's closer to her, but she wouldn't be able to safeguard it. Einu magreshes. That's what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, is that she's not divorced. Which that's exactly Rabbi Yechon's interpretation, that even though it's closer to her, if a dog would come and take it, she wouldn't be able to safeguard it. Then it's considered karav lai, because he could safeguard it, and that's why she's not magreshes. So that was the second interpretation in our Mishnah. Now, however, Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Huda. Shmuel said to Rabbi Huda, Shinina, sharp one, that's what he called Rabbi Huda, actually, Kedesha Teshuach Vetitlena. You want to know what our Mishnah means to say when it says Karav La, that she's divorced? It means that she can bend down and take it. That's what it means, close to her. So not like we had said, let's say possibly Dalar Amas, and for sure not, let's say 100 Amas, like Rabbi Yechon had said it. It means that if she can bend down and take it, that's what the Mishnah means, Dalar Amas, then she's divorced. And even so, although this is the most stringent interpretation so far, Shmuel says Rabbi Huda, but Va'at Loi Tavir Uvda. But you should not even do that to permit a woman to get married if it's close to her that she could even bend down and get it, until the get actually reaches her hand. And because we're concerned that people might say and confuse, oh, I saw she didn't get it to her hand, it was close to her, then people are going to start confusing that, oh, even if it falls on the floor, even if it's far, they're going to start saying the same thing, so that because of Gzera of Rachik, of Karv, because of Rachik, he said, never allow it to be considered a valid get until it actually reaches her hand. And actually, Amalei Rav Mardochai Rav Ashi, he says, Haba Uvdahach. It actually was one such an incident where the get was thrown to her right there where she could bend down, but she hadn't yet picked it up, and the husband died, Vatzachul Chalitza. And it required her to go through Chalitza because we didn't consider her a valid Mugareshis, even though it's Karav Law, and because, as we said, that we're concerned, it has to have first reached her hand, and only then can you, of course, she is Mugareshis, that's why they didn't do Yibum, but out of stringency, she had to go through the process of Chalitza. Now the Mishnah said v'chein le'in kedushin. This halacha of karav loy, and be'emtza, so too applies to halacha of kedushin, of getting married. Now, however, related to this halacha, the Gemara brings that Amar Basi Amar B'yechanan. Basi said in name of B'yechanan that legitin amru. The halacha of our Mishnah was said only for gitin, meaning that if it's close to her, although it didn't reach her hand, she's going to be divorced. But v'loy ledavar acha. But it wasn't said regarding any other area of halacha. So for example, if let's say a borrower throws what he owes to his lender and it reaches near his lender and then it gets lost, then we didn't say that halacha. Because regarding get, where the husband could divorce his wife, even bal karcha, even without her consent, so therefore we say that as long as it was karav law, then it's going to be considered a get. But in general, says Rabbi Yechanan, we don't consider that as if you gave it to that person. No, that is Rabbaba Rabasi, but Rabbaba asked Rabasi, who was saying over this halacha name of Rabbi Yechon, and says, what do you mean? Our Mishnah says it's not just for getting. Our Mishnah said, as we just quoted before, v'chein le'in kedushin, same thing applies to kedushin. So on that, Rabasi answered, no, Shani Hassan, there it's different. My kedushin is because the chsiv v'yatsa v'haisa. As we have a hekish, as we quote other places in Shas, that it says that the woman will leave this husband, v'haisa l'shachah, she'll get married to another husband, where we make a hekish comparing gerishin to kedushin, that's why the halacha applies to kedushin too. Only because it's like gittin, meaning it was only said for gerishin. But kedushin has the same halacha like gerishin. But that still applies, that we only said it for gittin and not l'davar acha. Still the Gemara asked, but eisvei. We learned in our Mishnah that it's not just for gittin and kedushin. The Mishnah says clearly the same thing applies to a debt, to a loan. Where if the lender tells to the borrower, zarek li chayvi v'zarku lai, throw me what you owe me, and he throws it to him, says the Mishnah, karev l'malva zocha halayva, that if it's closer to the lender, then the borrower has merited. This is actually different gersayis. Our Mishnah, the way we read it, was zocha hamalva, but it means the same thing. It means that either that the zocha hamalva, in other words, it was already closer to the lender, therefore when they got lost, it's his responsibility. Or you could read it the way our Gemara quotes it over here, zocha halayva, meaning the borrower has won, he has merited, meaning he's not liable anymore, because it was already closer, it was karev loy to the lender, karev l'layva, halayva chayv, we said, but if he threw it to him and it was closer to the borrower, then he's still liable, because it was closer to him. We said, if it's somewhere in the middle, then they have to split the loss. So you see that this halacha of karav law applies not just by Gittin, it applies even Ladavar Ach, as we see by Chayiv, is for debts. So that the Gemara answers, Nahacha Ma'iskinan, the case that our Mishnah was discussing was the Amar Lei where the lender said to the borrower, Zroik li Chayvi, throw me what you owe me, v'tifter, and be exempt. That's why, since he said you'll be exempt, that's why he's exempt. But what the Gemara is answering for Ravasi, name of Rabbi Yechon, but if he just told him, throw me what you owe me, he meant throw it to me and safeguard it until I get it. But if it gets lost until it gets to him, then he's actually going to be liable, the borrower, because it didn't yet get to his lender's hands. As Ravasi said in name of Rabbi Yechon, that this halacha only applies to Gittin, which, yes, includes Kedushin too. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, my lememra, if that's the case of our Mishnah, then why did we need to say this Chiddush? Of course. In other words, for Gittin, we're being Mechadish, this halacha that Zarek La is considered as if you gave it tar, and so to for Kedushin. But if you tell me by the case of Chayiv that our Mishnah is talking about where he explicitly told him, throw it to me, then you'll be exempt, well, of course, if that's what he's stipulating, of course he'll be exempt. What's the necessity of saying it in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Lo Yitzricha, no, the case that it's talking about is, the Amalei Zroikli Chayvi Betaris Gittin. It doesn't say, throw me what you owe me and you'll be exempt. It says, throw it to me with the same halachas that apply to Gittin. Which again, by Gittin we said that if you throw a close star, then it's already considered as if it's in our domain. So the Gemara asks, so Vakati Maila Memes, then what's the necessity of still saying it? It's like you're saying, throw it to me and be exempt, because saying it Betaris Gittin, that's what it means. It means that it's like I'll get it already, then you'll be exempt. So the Gemara says, no, because Ma'ad Tema Matzi Amalei, we would think to say that the lender could have said to the borrower, Meshate Anibach, I was joking around, you, I was kidding around, you, I was saying some foolish things. Oh, it's not a get, it's something that you owe me. And therefore, then maybe you would say that he would still be Chayiv the Leiva because it didn't get to the lender's hands. Kamash Shalom, that's the Chiddush of Mishnah, you're right. If you say it's Stam without saying Betifter or Keteris Gittin, then of course the Leiva is still going to be Chayiv, because like Rabbi Yechon said, it only applies to Gittin this halacha. He would tell him, we stipulated Keteris Gittin, and that's the Chiddush that he wasn't joking around, and you'll be exempt even if it gets lost, as long as it was Karv Loi of the Malva. Now, continuing on these halachas, as we said, our Mishnah is talking about v'nosin b'yada, that he has to put it in her hand. So Amrav Chizra, Chizra says, if get b'yada, if let's say the get is in her hand, meaning he gave her the get, but umishicha, but the string that the get is attached to, there's a string that you could hold on to the get with, is b'yada is in his hand. So says Rav Chizda, if he could pull, and thereby, although she's holding the whole get, it would schlep and drag the get back to him. She's not divorced. Vimlav, but if even though he's holding the string, but it's not strong enough that if he'd pull it, the string would probably just tear. It wouldn't be able to pull the get towards him. Then she is divorced. My time, what's the reason? So says the Gemara, be'in and creases malekah, because what we need to give her, v'nasa b'yada, is a safer creases, is a document of severance, that severs his relationship with her. If what he gave her, he's still holding on to, that's not a creases. So if he would pull and it wouldn't bring it, so that's creases. If he would pull and it would bring it, it's not creases, and therefore it wouldn't be a valid get. Another halacha, Amar Yehuda, he says, Haysi yada asuya kik tafris. If let's say her hands were made like a pipe which is sloping downwards. In other words, the tip of her fingers are facing downward toward the ground. In other words, she didn't stretch her hands straight horizontal, like the way people usually stretch out their hands. And Bezarkulani throws it to her. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Afa Peshagi get liyada. So even if the get reaches her hands, ain't the Mugresha, she's not divorced, because he didn't fulfill the Nasim Beyada. It didn't go into our hands. It fell right out. It's not Beyada. It slides right out. Now the Gemara asks, Amai. Why? Even if you say, okay, it didn't go into her hands, so you didn't fulfill it on that level. But Hoki Nafal, but when it falls, by Arba Amis, Didoka Nafal, it falls into her Dalar Amis. So who cares that her hands are not fit to receive it because it's not stretched out the way it usually is? Doesn't make a difference. We just explained Karav Law is her Dalar Amis, is also considered qualifying as Menasa B'yada, and that she should be divorced because of the Dalar Amis around her. Nothing to do with her hands. So that the Gemara answers, B'delay Nach. We're talking about that it never actually ended up landing on the ground. Rather, when it fell out of her hand, it got burnt in the fire. And therefore, since when she received it, it wasn't a valid putting in her hands, and neither did you end up getting her Dalat Amis, because it never fell on the floor. It ended up getting burnt before it fell on the floor. Now, the Gemara asks, so who cares that it didn't fall on the floor? But still, once it came into the ear space of her Dalat Amis, ask the Gemara, v'tigarish me avir da arba amis. She should be divorced because of the ear space that's in her Dalat Amis. Now, on that is what the Gemara is proving from the fact that still he said that she's not going to be divorced. So Tivshe Debay Rabbi Elazar, then let's resolve the question that Rabbi Elazar had asked. He asked, Arba Amish Amru, regarding these Dalet Amis that we said that a person has in Rosh Hashanah Ram is considered their own domain. It's like it's an extension of them. He asked, Yesh Len Aver or Ein Lahan Aver? Is that just the ground or is it the ear space too? Asked the Gemara, Tivshe De Ein Lahan Aver. So we should resolve that you don't have the ear space because if you did, so yes, you didn't get it because of your hand because it was sloping down. Fine. You didn't have the ground because it got burned beforehand, but it came into that airspace. That itself should be considered your Aver Dalet Amis, and from the fact that you're saying she's not Megureshes, obviously she does not have. That does not acquire for a person. Nothing more says, no Raya. Hachem Ha'iskin, what we're talking about over here is, Ba'imedis Al-Gav Hanar. She, at this story, she was standing at the edge of the river, Demikar Le'ibutkai, where originally it was always going to go to loss, meaning, because even if you'll say that the Aver of Dalet Amis is considered like the person Dalet Amis, but that's only if its ultimate destination was going to be on the ground. So the ear space is considered an extension of that, but that's only if there's ground for it to land on. Here she's standing over the river. So if it's not her hand, there's no ground either because there's no ground. There's just water, so it's going to get lost in that water, like if being thrown into the fire. So you can't have the ear space of a ground that doesn't exist. So if you had, maybe that you could still have Rabbi Elazar's question. Maybe the Aver would be the same as the Dalet Amis. But if you don't have the Dalet Amis on the ground because you're over a river, then you can't have the Aver either. And that's the case that he was describing of Yehuda, that if her hand was Ketafris and she's standing over a river, she doesn't have her hands because her hands are not stretched out as they normally are. So it's not Manasseh B'yada. You don't have the Dalet Amis on the ground because either it got burnt or because there is no ground, there's water. And moreover, you don't have the Aver because the Aver has to be of a land that it's ultimately going to land on. If there's no land it's going to land on, you can't have the Aver either.